The pilot number 53.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is the pilot, Fonz. This is the Walter and Fonz Show podcast. The pilot number 53. How are you, Fonz?
What's up, man? It's been a while.
It's been a while, but definitely worth it. We are in a very unique place in Long Beach and with some very unique people. Yeah. We're here with the guys who help run the Edge magazine. How are you guys? Gary, Blake?
Yeah, we just found out it's a magazine.
We did just find out it's amazing.
You know, I think when we first started talking about this product, we talked about it as a newspaper, but it really isn't. I mean, yes, there's news in it, but I think the format and the definition, I think, much better fits the title of magazine because we do so many different things than what a newspaper does, I think. So
we should title it Amazing and not a magazine. Oh. Amazing, yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Tell our listeners what Amazing, I mean, the magazine, tell our listeners what the magazine's all about. It's a Long Beach-based magazine.
It is. Well, there used to be a great magazine in town called The District Weekly. Some great journalists worked on that magazine, but you know, as a lot of magazines have found out, it just didn't have the advertising support, and it went away. There were some great journalists who worked on there. Dave Wallenga, Steve Lowry are two that come to mind because I worked with both of those guys. And so there's just been a void here in Long Beach. And we're the second largest city in Los Angeles County. And there needed to be a magazine that focused solely on entertainment, dining, the arts, and, you know, out-of-the-way stories that the depleted Press-Telegram couldn't cover because they're down to, like, a staff of 20 trying to cover a city of 500,000. The Grunion Gazette, which is a subsidiary of the Press-Telegram. The Press-Telegram bought the Grunion Gazette years ago, and they really are very focused on the Belmont Shore area and Naples. And, you know, they were just doing very niche articles about that area, but there wasn't anything really covering Long Beach. And so I was approached by the owner, Vaughn, last November, just about a year ago, what he thought if there was a viability for a publication to really cover things that weren't being covered in town, but also taking a view of news stories that were kind of off the beaten track a little bit. And I said, yeah, I thought so. And he said, you know, but you know, do you think your students could write the stories and you could edit them? And I said, absolutely. I look at Blake. Yeah, Blake was one of the very beginning people to volunteer for this project. I mean, we didn't know where it was going to go.
From a student's perspective, I looked at it and, I mean, they came in, they pitched the class basically, and what I got from it was, we're going to start a new publication in Long Beach. We need people to help us contribute the content. And from a student, it's like, so you're basically telling me we can just have all our content published? And that's what you know?
Yeah.
Wow. You're going to let me be published around town? So we jumped at that opportunity. I thought that there would be a line out the door of students waiting to do that. And I showed up day one. And first, I realized how big of a project it really was going to be. It was from the ground floor. We came in. There was maybe two chairs in the office. I sat down. They were asking me what titles we should come up with. So I was like, "Wow, this is starting at ground zero." And then, and second, there wasn't that line of students out the door, and I just don't think I'm not sure that enough people realized right off the bat what an opportunity that is, especially if you're a student trying to pursue journalism, to be able to have somebody back you and publish you around the city. So we kind of took that and ran with it, and here we are 43 weeks later, still chugging along.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think at the beginning, I think there were just four students
mm-hmm.
who took the bait to try and put this magazine out. And we finally got everything together, and in late January, we came out with our first issue. And it's been tough. It is very tough to be a startup nowadays, very, very tough. And especially in this town, you have a long established media, I don't want to say powerhouse, but a media entity in the Press-Telegram.
Yeah.
And for the type of audience that I thought would appreciate our content the most, well, the Grunion Gazette and the Downtown Gazette and the this Gazette and the that Gazette, they dominate the advertising. And you have to remember the type of advertising that we were going for. Understandably so, they were leery about putting their advertising money in the Edge, because I'm sure they were saying, and they may have been saying to the ad people, you know, how the hell do we know that you're going to be around, mm-hmm. you know, for more than 10 weeks? You know, we're going to give you thousands of dollars to advertise, and you know, 4 weeks later, you're going to say, "Oops, sorry, nobody cares about us, and we're going to fold."
Yeah.
And so, people have been very leery to advertise. We had the Queen Mary at first, and we thought we could really build off of that. They haven't renewed with us. In addition to that, though,
it's getting harder just to convince people to advertise with a print product in general. Because, Facebook, you can put money on that and advertise yourself. And then digital platforms are just so much easier to track. People don't see the value anymore of print. And it's really hard as a writer, because you'd love to have the tangible version of what you do. And it's hard because the best part of it for you is the print product, but that's the hardest part to keep alive when you have advertisers who don't see any value in it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You guys talked about how the magazine got created. It's an incredible magazine, and I think it's one of those things where, you know, everyone kind of needs to catch on. I didn't catch on from advertisement. I went to the local liquor store by my house, Loma Liquor, and which I didn't.
They should advertise.
Free advertising, which right there.
They should advertise.
I didn't see on your list of distribution. I didn't see my little liquor store in that list. Who knows why? Maybe someone just threw them in there. I don't know what. But that's how I came across it. And you know, I looked at it and I said, this is pretty interesting. I saw the cover, and when I opened it, I ended up seeing Gary's name on it, and then Vaughn's name. Vaughn's a part of that. And that's what made me reach out to you guys. That's not what made me. I continued flipping through it, and I said, this really reminds me of the LA Weekly. It reminds me a little bit of the OC Weekly. I've read the LA Weekly for decades. I've been in Angeleno for a long time. Part of the basis of this show is being in Angeleno. Me and Fonz went to the second oldest Catholic high school in Los Angeles. So LA is a big part of the show's heart. We now reside in Long Beach. And so that LA Weekly part that I've kind of grown up reading and finding shows and looking for, you know, these gems of bands and dining experiences, it really didn't exist here. I remember one time at Barnes & Noble's, I actually found the LA Weekly because Long Beach carries the OC Weekly for some reason. And I was really excited about that. It brings me even more joy than that experience, because this is for where I live. I can't tell you how many times I'm driving down Shoreline Village and I'm like, this is going on? How come I don't know this is going on? There was like a music festival, or maybe it's just because I'm old now, Fonz, because we're old. There was a music festival on like some parking lot. I remember driving home from like a weekend one time, and I was like, what the heck is going on? And there isn't anything like what you guys do. And that's what really drew me to getting this show out, because one of the things me and Fonz, one of the benefits about this podcast is that we get to put shows out of things we are fans of. And I'm definitely a fan of this magazine.
I'm hooked.
Yeah, yeah. I like the creativity. I want to. We'll talk a little bit later about like some of the articles you guys have put out, some of the things you guys have wrote together, different things like that, or some of the articles that your staff has wrote. But it really is a very unique thing. It's something I don't understand why it hasn't been around. You mentioned the district, but it's fresh. I mean, if I had to put it together in like my third grade vocabulary, it's just fresh. It's a fresh thing in all sense of the word. New, cool, Fresh Prince.
Well, I like that you say that. And we mentioned it earlier as well when we were saying that almost when we were going into it, our direct market was that gap in between OC Weekly and LA Weekly, because you have Orange County and OC Weekly. That's a lot of territory to cover. You have Los Angeles. That's a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah.
And they kind of overlap and they give Long Beach what's left over. So our whole goal going into it was just to take this and have an exclusive focus on kind of the same type of product they put out, but just for Long Beach. And from what we've gotten, the people who do respond to us, or most of them, say stuff like that. I feel like the people who do end up following us or who do take an interest really do appreciate it. It's just the struggle of getting it out there in front of everybody, which simply just takes time. And that's something that all the other publications around the area have on us, is that they've been around for so long. So it's just a constant struggle of trying to prove ourselves. We still haven't even been out for 365 days yet. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's just trying to get out there and get in front of people and let people know that we even exist. And then when they come upon us in their liquor store, hopefully gain another follower.
That's right. Well, now you're on this podcast, so this might set you back some after they hear.
Yeah, we really thought hard about it.
So we apologize.
We weighed the pros and the cons on that.
Yeah, I know where I'm going to be every Wednesday picking up the magazine, you know?
Awesome. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Man, I was trying to like do my research for this show, and you guys are such a distraction because I started reading some of the articles on there, and I ran into this one you guys did. It was called Bring Back the Beat, about this drummer that was born and raised here.
The syncopated drumming.
Yes, yep. Syncopated drumming. So I started watching YouTube videos on syncopated drumming after I read the article.
Yes.
And it is amazing.
Yes, it is.
The
it
drumming, is it's powerful. It's just, it grabbed you. I wasn't there in person, but man, it's amazing that group, LSRD, I think they're called.
Well, and what's amazing is that this guy lives in Salt Lake City.
Sweet.
And he comes back every year, like to do like a summer camp and everything. And
yeah, I saw the videos he did. Him and his group were at Disneyland, at Downtown Disney.
Yeah.
And man, the you would love it, Walt, because you know, like,
oh, yeah.
you were in the band and stuff,
yeah.
like in high school, I mean, in junior high, and just the sound, it takes you back to like the high school, like the powerhouses, like, or going to the USC game, or it's way better.
Rattles the rib cage.
Yeah, yeah. It fills the soul, man. It was really cool. But it was a distraction because I couldn't do my work. You know, I was trying to do my research here, and then I read the article. I was like, damn it, I never heard about this, you know? And then it was really good. Thank
you.
Well,
you know, we really strive every week to give the readership here in Long Beach stories that they're not going to read anyplace else. When I worked at the Los Angeles Times, and I worked there for 24 years, we had, on the front page of the paper every single day, a story that was called Column 1. So it always appeared
in
the very first column of the front page.
Left-hand side, I
believe? Left-hand side.
Yes.
And it was always a story that we believed could not be duplicated. In fact, we even called it the non-duplicated story. And so we kind of hoped each week that, you know, that most of the articles that people can read are articles that you can't read and that you won't read anyplace else, because nobody has the balls to write that type of an article.
Yeah.
But we do. And we're not afraid to, to go out and investigate things. We did a story, I don't know, was it a month ago, on the homeless encampment?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't in any other newspaper here in town.
Yeah.
The story about a guy who was arrested picking up his son at a Krispy Kreme, and because his headlight was out in the front, and he was arrested by a Cal State Long Beach policeman, he's been deported to Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see that story in the Grunion first. You saw it in The Edge first, yeah, and in The Daily 49er also. So we really try and do stories that nobody else is going to do.
Right. And that's one of the things that, speaking with Vaughn, he kind of shed a little bit of light on that, and I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, do tell. What did he say?
Well, I mean, the show, you guys are a guest. We can have Vaughn on some other time. But in a nutshell, he mentioned that in his vision, that's kind of the things he wants to do, and that's his vision for the magazine.
Yeah.
And those are some serious stories that you guys put out, and that's, I think that's important, because these things are serious issues that happen, and they just get swept under the rug. Right. Now, you guys are also very creative, very creative. I recently read the Dear Diary, the what goes on through Hillary and Donald Trump's mind.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fascinating. It was
true story.
I mean, how do you guys, are you guys playing Nintendo thinking these things? Or like how, I just thought to myself, like, this is genius. It's grassroots things. It reminds me of like back in the day when we first started, or just all the things that would go on in our mind when we were younger a lot of times. And I found it fascinating because I followed it. So that story to our listeners, it kind of follows the election, and it's a fictional piece on what are the thoughts of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton
as it unfolds.
But I'll let you guys describe that, because I thought it was hilarious how that manifests, and tell our listeners what that story is about.
So I actually, when I first started doing or wanted to do journalism, I really actually wanted to get into sports journalism, and I veered off that path tremendously. But one of the things I always remembered was a couple columnists that I would read, and they would do play-by-plays after the fact. But they would add a little humor into them, so because you get to publish it after, you're not doing it live. And we were trying to figure out a way to cover the election, but the week before we had done a voter's guide. And we knew everybody was going to come out with whoever has the president on the cover tomorrow. So we're like, what can we do that's different than everybody else? And I was like, well, what if we do a play-by-play? But as we do that, instead of just doing the play-by-play like every other news organization is going to have that says this happened at this time, what if in there we kind of just make up whatever they're thinking? And we had, I think like a lot of other organizations, anticipated a probable Clinton victory on Election Day. So that just kind of threw a whole loop into things, because as things happened, we had already almost had ideas of what we kind of wanted to put in, and then the results started coming in, and we were really making it up on the fly. Yeah, yeah. We were like, oh no,
we're gonna start all over.
Yeah, we had a section in there printed out for Donald Trump, not printed, but laid aside for if it started getting called, and what we would sub in there. And we got on the phone, and I was like, I think we need to run that against Hillary right now. So it was really a fun way to kind of go through it, especially because of how it turned out, and kind of takes some light and some joy in the whole election process.
But it was something people can relate. Like, you referred to Donald going to his Twitter. Mm-hmm. I thought that was awesome. The intern with the sending the email to Hillary, I thought that was hilarious too. It was creative. I loved it. And then so I'm looking to see who wrote it, and it was like maybe you two and one other person.
And Brandon Ralston, he is our intern this semester. He's written a couple very, very good articles.
It was great. I mean, it was, honestly, getting ready for this show, it made it very easy. I had already read a couple pieces, and then just getting lost in your magazine, much like what Fawn said. It's, I mean, you guys are the kings of distraction. This whole week, you guys have been the kings of distraction, and it's been fun.
Did you get a chance? Did you happen to see the Clown Survival Guide at all?
I did. That was another fictional piece.
That was
piece.
The other one that Brandon wrote, and kind of it was the same thing.
And had a little punchline at the end with you're not alone. Or
everybody's talking about clowns and the whole scary clown thing, but how can you have a different take on that and get it to print?
Now, lists, you guys, this magazine has a lot of lists, and there's always, there's both sides of that coin. Having lists is good. You can be very creative with it. In my experience, having lists, it kind of doesn't allow for, you can use your creativity other places. I love a list. I'm a list guy. I love your guys' list. I think they're fascinating, and it's about places that I've driven through or have checked out, being a resident here in Long Beach. How did that make the magazine? I mean, it's got its own little, it's got a header on the website. I mean,
That's great for me since I just moved here. You know?
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
You know, that was something that we wanted to have right from the very beginning. We wanted to be able to share with readers places to go hiking, places to find the best margarita.
It was the top 20 for about 2-3 months.
And it was a challenge.
Yeah, tried cranking out 15 through 20.
15 right. through 20.
You know, try finding 20 hot dog places in Long Beach.
You know what?
You do Costco, and then what else do you do?
We had, leading up to the Olympics, we had a metal music kind of part of our show where it was more like a meddling music
instead gold of like metal heavy. Yeah, you know, silver.
But yeah. it was and so we created these categories and what would meddle. That's just three, and we were kind of trying to grind it out. It was tough. So 20, I can definitely empathize on.
Yeah, I had the first list in the first issue.
That's right.
And it was 20 spots to watch the Super Bowl, or 20 places doing something for the Super Bowl around Long Beach. I got to like 10 places, and I was like, there's nobody else really doing anything that much different than everybody else. So there you get 15 through 20 was honorable mentions, these guys, because I don't know how to complete this.
Let's talk about honorable mentions. In that list, maybe it wasn't on the list, but there was definitely an article on best dive bars.
Oh, that recently came out, yeah.
And that is Alex's Bar.
Favorite.
Alex's Bar was number one, A. And I agree with that. I love Alex's Bar.
Yeah.
It's one of the most fun places I've been. I've seen...
I think it made our live music list as well.
Did it?
Yeah.
I've seen some big acts there. I've seen some dumpy bands, all just as fun. Federal Underground. I love D Piazza's. D Piazza's reminds me, you know who I feel in a different life, or if D Piazza's exists maybe 30 years ago, I feel like George Thorogood and the Destroyers would play there, because they're kind of like I just got finished playing softball. I'm going to go get a pizza slice and I'm going to rock out on my Stratocaster for some friends. It reminds me of George Thorogood.
Yeah.
Kesara and 4th Street Vine. Speaking of honorable mentions, what would be an honorable mention in there? Maybe for you guys personally, if you guys have any watering holes or just kind of places where you just get to just bring the heart rate down from a day full of making the edge.
Do you have a dive bar? Oh, you
don't ask me.
Maybe a coffee shop.
I actually just head on, because it's right down next to the office, the old Dubliner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whiskey Wednesdays there.
Yep, grab a couple old fashions, and that's
yes.
That's my after work.
I was there on the weekend because they have like a full Irish breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I went there Saturday morning. Oh, had a Guinness to start off my breakfast, and forgot to drink coffee, because I drink coffee like every day, right?
Right.
Forgot to drink coffee, so around 4 o'clock I had the worst headache in my life. But that the full Irish breakfast with the blood pudding.
So you had another Guinness. That's how you.
Oh right, yeah, right. No, actually, I had to go to sleep. I couldn't deal with it anymore. It was so bad. I'm old now.
I had to go to bed.
For the first Irish, I mean the full Irish with the blood pudding and the, it's really really good right there.
We had another which kind of goes in. I'll talk about the contributors too that we have. We had somebody write a list about Irish bars in Long Beach, and it was actually
don't tell me it's 1 through 20.
No, okay. There's about five. He's very very particular with his choices.
Okay.
But the guy who wrote it is actually, he also has a Facebook page called Humans of Long Beach, where he goes around the city taking pictures of different people in the city and kind of putting a short biography to him, similar to Humans of New York, if you've heard about that before.
Yeah, the guy that draws them out,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, so he does that, but for Long Beach, and we kind of teamed up with him to get some content, and he's publishing once a month with us now, and that's a way that we've been able to get a lot of our stories out too, is making it an effort by the community. We really seek out contributors that are in Long Beach and people who already have a connection to the city, and kind of offer them a platform like, hey, here's your platform to now be a voice in the city. So we have an LGBTQ column once a month. We have Ask Long Beach Khalif, which is with Heather Kern, once a month, answering different questions about Long Beach. And then we have
Talk and Brew
with
that sounds nice.
Rabbi Drew.
Yes.
A rabbi that
what?
Does beer reviews
yes.
once a month.
Oh,
yes.
Man, I got to meet that guy.
Yes.
It's not Mel Brooks in costume.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then,
we got to have him on our show.
Yeah.
The Humans of Long Beach would be that fourth column. So it's nice to have all these people give us their time and effort to go ahead and write stories for us.
Before we go to break, what's an article in this process, this short time you guys have been together? What article has been like a morale booster where one of you guys or someone on your staff wrote that you're like, yes, this is exactly what the vision is. This is the type of article that gets me out of bed. This is what we're looking to strive to do.
I want to see if you name the same article as me.
Is there anything like that kind of comes to mind?
Boy, that is a good question.
Suicide.
Oh, I didn't read that. I saw it.
A lot of people saw that.
Yeah. No, I didn't get to read that one.
A lot of people saw that.
I mean, I was going to say the Ariana story that had a lot of reaction. But no, suicide, boy, oh boy, did that have a lot of reaction.
Tell us about that.
Well, Brandon Ralston wrote the story.
Far cry from the diaries. Much different story.
Oh. I love it. No, yeah. Dude, you guys bring the yin and the yang. Oh, freaking great.
Do you guys have a podcast?
No, not yet.
It was a little bit late, but it was at the end of Suicide Prevention Awareness. Suicide Awareness Month. And Brandon knew somebody who had committed suicide. And so the story, we thought the story was so good, well written, and important that all we did was put the word suicide in very large type on the cover, and we started his story on the front of the magazine also. Literally the very beginning of his story, and then it continued on an inside page, and it was an issue that that hit home with us, and it really, when we posted it online, it got a lot of comments from people. A lot of them applauding us for talking about the issue right out front. Some people didn't like it, but that's
some people didn't
stories.
Like the way, like you said, you didn't read the story but you saw it, and some other people didn't read the story but they saw it
and possibly just made opinions on the headline.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there, I get it. We had people call and say that children pass the stands, they see that. That's not something. What if a person with a mental illness sees that and pushes them over the edge? But we went back and forth with the cover for that right up until our deadline to print on what to exactly put on that. And we had been set on it since the beginning of the day. We were like, this is what we're going to run. But then as we got closer, it was like, but even the font, that font's got to be perfect. It's got to have the impact. And we stood behind it saying that we get that it's on the cover, but when it happens, it's not something that you have a choice to. You don't have any control over it. So that's what it is. It's bold. It's in your face, just like what suicide actually is.
Right.
So I felt like we nailed it with that cover. I felt like it was a perfect opportunity to kind of be what we thought we were about, kind of delving deeper into certain topics. And then it really was the first time that I got to see the community and the people who read our stuff kind of sit there and stand behind what we put out, because after we put it out, we let them know, hey, some people didn't appreciate this, and that's when it took off, and people really started reading it, and it became our most read story of that month.
Yeah, the cover is such an important piece of property when you're talking about a magazine, and because, let's face it, that's the first thing that people see. You look at the cover, the first thing, and, It's got to be striking. It has to be visual. It has to catch somebody who's walking by. It has to catch their eye immediately. And I think I could put a check mark by each of those when we're talking about that cover. That really, really stopped people in their track and made them pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic, cool. And I imagine is that still on your archives on the online?
It is.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah. Sweet. Well, then I'm out of here. I'm going to go read that story. All right. Bonds, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right, we'll be back with Gary and Blake of the Edge magazine publication. Either or. We'll be back.
I have to tell you guys this. I was really nervous to be on this, to do this podcast. I was so glad.
And you're nervous every podcast.
Yeah, that's why I drink. So, Pilot 53, I was super nervous. I didn't want to disappoint my journalism teacher in high school.
Dr. James.
Who's
still there.
Yeah, he's still there. And we're friends on Facebook. So I had to pray to Dr. James. I had to write down my...
To the Dr. James candle?
Yeah, I had to pray to the Dr. James candle. Had to put my who, what, where, when, why, and how. So, you know, just had to get to that. It's just like, I even wrote it down right here. It's just like, oh, I cannot disappoint Dr. James, you know?
Yes.
So it's like we're pretty much interviewing people that interview.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
So that's, and I mean... With Gary, 25 years at the LA Times, and I know he has way before that, but I mean like 24 years at the LA Times, and he's worked everywhere else, and he has all kinds of awards, and he's a teacher of journalism. It was just
he's tearing up right now.
Yeah, so it was just like, oh my God, this is like. You put me in the spot, you know?
And we're not doing the live. The headphones aren't breaking. His head is not swelling, by the way. He is a humble dude, grounded. So, those headphones aren't breaking.
You mentioned all the years at the LA Times. When I was at the LA Times, I started in 1984.
You got him going.
Yeah, you got him going now.
I love stories.
There were reporters, photographers, editors. There were, you know, foreign correspondents, national correspondents. There were... probably 2,000 people. Now, when you go through the newsroom, there's about 300.
Wow.
From 2,000 to 300. That's the state of you know, of the legacy media, at least around here. You know, the New York Times, you know, has more. The Washington Post has more reporters.
Right.
But that's what's going on. I used to take my journalism students through the LA Times during the semester, and it just got really bad. There were more empty desks around than there were reporters and editors and things like that. So, yeah, it's been tough.
Well, you know, let's turn back the clock a little bit.
Okay.
You know, you did
how
time,
far?
Well, we'll find out.
Further
right
than
now.
1984?
Oh, man.
The Earth did exist. you worked for the LA Times for a good period. You also did some time at the Herald Examiner.
Yes, I did.
I've had a conversation. The ongoing joke and what I've shared with a sports writer, Doug Krikorian, was that, especially when I first met him, it's kind of funny. It's like a... There's this Hewlett Packard did this one commercial about like your rock stars are not like everyone else's rock stars, and they were all like these Indian dudes in lab coats, and then they walk into the computer science part of the company and they're all like throwing a party. Duck Creek Quarian, I was laughing. I spent my middle school years like having all the required reading of all my English classes. I would always put them to the side. And I remember Duck Creek Quarian, Jim Murray, and Sam McManus.
Right.
I mean, these guys are legends for me. These guys are legends. And you know, we live in L.A., and I mean, you see people wherever you go, and it's you don't get asked starstruck. But these guys, for some reason, it's kind of like the younger you are, the harder it sticks kind of thing. I mean, I've read these dudes when I was younger. I read these before. I had to do all the other kind of – I read this every day. And it was in print. It was only a quarter. At the time, my family can definitely afford it. We had it every day at the house. And these guys were legends to me, and I'm a big sports fan. And what was that like? Take our listeners, actually screw them, take me through 1988. Take us back in time. What was that like? I mean, are these guys really legends for a lot of guys that they might read archives or they hear the references, especially with like Bill Plaschke and Jay Adonde, they'll reference them. Now, what were these dudes like, and what was the times like back in the day, or even the Herald?
Well, I'll start at the Herald. I came to LA in 1981. I was hired as the assistant sports editor of the LA Herald Examiner.
Nice.
That right then and there just kind of blew my mind because when I was in journalism school, I went to the University of Missouri. My goal.
Wildcats?
Tigers.
Tigers.
Missouri Mizzou. Tigers. Mizzou. My goal was to be in Los Angeles for the 1984 Summer Olympic Games. That I wanted to be here. I wanted,
what?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I made it 3 years early. But when I started in 1981, the Herald Examiner at one point in time was the largest evening circulation newspaper in America. 500,000 circulation.
Wow.
And then there was a strike. The reporters and editors and photographers at the Herald were unionized. The LA Times was not. And the Hearst Company and the union could not come to an agreement, so the reporters and editors and everybody went on strike. And the union asked a lot of the advertisers for the Herald Examiner. So like back in the 1980s, it would have been like Broadway and May Company, Robinson's,
Bullocks,
ask them not to advertise in the paper.
Wow.
And those advertisers did not advertise. And so the circulation plummeted, revenue plummeted, and it was not a good time. When I got there in 81, the contract had been settled, the strike had been settled, but the advertisers weren't coming back. They had all gone to the LA Times.
Got it.
And it's interesting, when the Herald Examiner and the Times, apparently there was some sort of a meeting, and the two companies were trying to decide which one would publish in the afternoon and which one would publish in the morning.
Oh.
And the LA Times took the morning, and the Herald Examiner.
Sounds like a smart move.
Yeah. Boy, was it ever.
Considering an international audience.
Yes. But to the point of the sports department, it was for a guy who had worked in Jacksonville, Florida, and had been born and raised in Delaware, to come out to
Dover
LA,
Downs, baby, Dover Downs.
To come to LA and see these new two sports sections, really battling it out, you know, trying to scoop each other. I mean, it was like we were like high-fiving every time we scooped the LA Times, because they were, you know, the LA Times. They had a gazillion sports reporters, and they were unbelievable. And so, you know, when Doug was like covering the Raiders, Bob Kaiser was covering like UCLA, Bob Mazursky, before he did horse racing, was doing USC. Gordon Jones was the horse racing writer. The unbelievable, who you didn't mention yet, I'm surprised, Alan Malamud.
Alan Malamud, Alan Malamud, yeah,
who just
right.
got
Alan
inducted
Malamud,
into
yeah.
the Boxing Hall of Fame. Alan had
legends,
the most
legends, dude.
Alan had the most unbelievable, best read column ever, called Notes on a Scorecard.
Yeah.
And I remember even helping him like collect notes and things like that. I'd call my sources in Florida to get notes for him, and you know, to help with his column. It was It was amazing. The writers, you know, Lyle Spencer covered the Dodgers.
Did you get time with Murray, Jim Murray?
When I moved to the Times, I did, but he rarely came in.
Gotcha.
Rarely came in. This was after his wife had died, after he had lost his sight in one of his eyes. Yeah. And so he very, very rarely came in. He just would either, like, at the time when computers really weren't big yet, he was, like, dictating his column.
Gotcha.
Over the phone, things like that.
Alan Malema, that's right. Oh. You know, Fonz, I'm telling you, legends. I mean, people look at me and they say, oh, is it because English is your second language? Like, is that why you say have forgotten or past participles? I'm like, no. It's not because English is my second language. It's because I read the sports page, and that's geared for a sixth grade vocabulary. That's why my English isn't great. But nonetheless, I mean, these guys are legends.
What was amazing for me was that when I came in 1981, and you guys weren't even around then, but 1981 was the year of Fernando.
Yeah, Fernando Mania.
Fernando Mania. We had a contest with our readers, asked them to give him a nickname. Whoever won the contest got to go onto the field and meet him and get an autographed baseball. Alan Malamud went to Etchowicea, which is where Fernando was born, and went and talked with his parents and took a photographer and the baseball field where he used to be. I mean, and then also remember 1981 was a strike shortened year.
Yeah, that's when they won.
Yes, that's when they beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
Bob
Welch is a rookie.
Absolutely. And so during the strike time, the sports editor came up with a strike ball game. And so we would play like Strat-O-Matic, the baseball game. And so whoever the Dodgers were supposed to play, we would play a Strat-O-Matic game. And the beat writers would have to write like a short game story and get quotes from the writers. And we would run like baseball game stories, like for the Dodgers and the Angels, and have standings and box scores and everything. And you know, this awesome. This is like how we got under the skin of the LA Times, because they would have never thought of anything like
that. It's fun, man. That's fun. I remember that reminds me of like when I used to like collect comic books. Every once in a while it was like Editor's Month, and they would make these back stories, and it would be like, what if? They would all be what if stories of like, and they weren't really part of the universe, but they were always like, what if?
So, you know, so for me to start in 1981 when, you know, the Dodgers, and it was showtime.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it was just an amazing time. And then to move over to the LA Times in 1984 with the summer games. And, you know, and then for me, 1988 was unbelievable. It was the Summer Olympics were going on. You know, Ben Johnson had set a 100-meter record and then took the drug test and was disqualified. But in the meantime, there's Oral Hershiser pitching, you know, and going on his long scoreless streak, and the Dodgers winning the World Series. And I was a designer. I did the layout and design of the sports pages at the time. And so I was the designer on the night that Kirk Gibson hit his home run against Dennis Eckersley.
I didn't know that.
In fact, that page still hangs in the sports department.
That might be in Cooperstown, actually.
It is, and I have it on my phone somewhere also. But I have to tell you, in all the years that I've been in journalism, I have never heard such a roar in the newsroom when he hit that home run.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have the Facebook going anymore.
I mean, every TV, pretty much every TV in that newsroom on that third floor of the LA Times was on the game. And
everybody felt sorry for the car driving away.
Oh, that car driving away. Right. You look at the footage, that one car driving away.
You see the red light.
Yeah. And you know, and we didn't have the radio. I mean, it was hard to get radio reception in the building. But you know, we had Jack Buck. He was doing the announcing and saying, you know, I can't believe what I just saw. And I didn't get to hear Vinny until later. In the year of the impossible, improbable, the impossible. Those were amazing times with some unbelievable writers.
Epic.
Yeah.
You know, and really, something really about was. Sports, one thing about sports that I think does not get brought up is that there's no divide. If you live in LA and you're a Dodger fan, you're a Dodger fan. I mean, you know, you're sharing your experiences with us at the time working for the Times. I mean, I grew up in immigrant parents out in right by the Echo Park area. Every single kid, all of us were running around. It didn't matter. It was just incredible. And sports does that. I mean,
it does.
My dad's a big soccer player, and I grew up playing baseball. And part of the reason why, you know, it helped him assimilate to the United States. And sports does that. It brings people together.
Yes, it
doesn't
does.
Matter what, you know, any kind of affiliations.
Right.
You know, those moments. Those moments that don't happen, even in a championship town like here, LA, Sparks recently won a championship. Mm-hmm. Maybe right.
Controversial.
Yeah. Maybe. But, you know, in a place like Los Angeles where, you know, they tend to happen more than other towns, you know, the city really unites together. It's beautiful.
Rams
are going to make it.
That has brought me and all my buddies together. Everybody had to be a separate fan. I was a Vikings. I had a Packers fan, Cowboys fans, but now we're all Rams fans.
Blake, check this out. So, obviously, thank you for that. That's one of the reasons why we podcast. We love, so as you mentioned earlier, Fonz, we love podcasting. You know, Gary has an incredible resume.
Thanks for making me follow.
Maybe you're the new kid on the block. How do your sets of experiences help make The Edge great?
So I think I would really say a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the organization of the magazine really is a greater effort than I could have ever anticipated. And like I said, we came in day one, and there was just that one chair in here, and we were pitching titles. And I guess I just kind of got thrown into the fire of what journalism actually is and the whole kind of world of having to get everything and have a deadline where you have to publish and you're actually responsible to people. But I think that being in the military kind of set me up for that because I did my 4 years there, and I kind of have a leg up on some people in just that aspect of being in that situation before where you did have to do stuff and there wasn't another option. And that's really what a deadline is when you have things like this, this has to come out. If this doesn't come out Wednesday, there's more than just us. There's people that are coming to read it. You're affecting your distribution. There's a whole load of things that goes behind it, and I think once I kind of found my groove, it was really kind of behind the scenes and trying to get everything organized for a startup that was trying to still figure out exactly what it was week to week.
Yeah.
He also took two of my classes, so that helped.
Ah, well, he groomed them.
Yeah, he gave me a C boy. In one of them. I
That's
think.
Right. That's right. Yeah, you didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Hey, C's are presidents.
They
man.
Are.
C's are presidents.
Here
are
I
good.
Am now. No, I actually took a class, kind of how me and Gary even met. I took a class from him at Cal State Long Beach one semester. Was that graphic design the first semester?
Media design.
Or media design the yeah. first semester?
Yes.
And he is a hard ass in class, but I appreciated it. Because kind of same thing as this. You get your 100 points in his class. There's no 1,000 points or whatever it is. You got 100 points. If you don't hit a certain thing, you don't hit a certain thing. Doesn't matter how lovable he looks on the outside when it comes to that.
He's a teddy
yeah,
bear.
Yeah, when it comes,
I don't, I
when
can't
it comes to
identify
that,
with this. He's a teddy bear.
He draws the line. And so that first semester, I took him, and I kind of appreciated that aspect of it. And I think some people don't. They don't like that. They're looking for an easy teacher.
Yeah.
And so the next semester, I came back and I took two classes from him. And I had actually just had my daughter. So I had his class at 8 in the morning, and I had a newborn.
Wow. And waking up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, and you can't miss Gary's class more than twice.
Ooh,
there was no way
like
in hell
it.
that was happening.
I like
so,
it, Gary. I like it.
After
you should
my,
have taken your baby with him.
Yeah,
with
I thought about it. So upon my third time missing class, I was like, oh no, that's it, not with Gary. And he was like, no, you're good. And he kind of understood the whole situation, and that's when we kind of really started bonding. And then this came about, and things have kind of just grown from there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Blake has really learned the business in a very, very short time. This opportunity. He has had to learn not only the editorial side, but also the advertising side and the business side. And it's been a very steep learning curve. But if I had to grade him, I'd have to give him an A+.
That'd be the first A plus I ever gave.
So he hasn't called in sick more than twice.
No, he has not. No, not at all. No, no, he has done a fabulous job. Really has.
Oh, it shows, man.
I'm impressed.
The proof is in the pudding.
So, since we're grading right now,
can you
grade our podcast so far?
Do you get points for drinking in class?
Yes, you do.
Right. You get points. Yes,
I came to every class drunk. No, I'm joking.
How do I know that?
I'd have got an A.
Yeah.
Other than me missing that you're left-handed because you haven't written anything.
I would still give you an A so far for the podcast because there hasn't been any ums and huhs, and you've been spot on the questions. So,
all right.
So, Fonza, you have an A.
Yes.
I make Dr. James proud.
You made Dr. James a good comeback.
You would.
Good
That's right. Comeback. It was a good hell of a comeback. Yes.
All right.
You know what's funny? We reached out to him, and he was like, well, I still want to keep my job, guys. So what's going to happen here? What are we looking at? What are you looking to talk about? And it was funny, and it's in the works. but, yeah. Dude, we got the edge on our podcast.
Yes,
any
can you believe that?
You got? Cheers.
Oh, my God.
Cheers.
Love it.
Bing,
cheers.
Bing,
clink, clink,
bing,
clink,
clink. Yeah, exactly. Clink. Yeah. Fonz, anything else you want to ask these guys?
Where can I pick up my next Edge magazine?
Where do you guys pick up your Edge magazines?
So,
I can pick it up here.
is this the breaking news?
Yeah, I'll give you guys some
Here's
news
the breaking
right
news.
Now. So we talked about all this. You asked where you can pick us up. So we have yet to be out for 365 days, but it's coming up shortly, January 27th. And our first year, actually, it turned out well. We're still here.
Yes.
And we're still going to be going. But we do kind of, as we talked earlier when we were talking about magazine, that was, I think, the first question was that, what is the Edge exactly? And so what we want to do is really take our time and turn this into a magazine. So we are going to stop printing weekly starting next week. Next week will be our last weekly issue.
Okay.
And then we are planning to relaunch as a monthly magazine with a higher page count and a gloss cover.
Glossy.
On our year anniversary, so January 27th.
Just like my eyes.
Date right now. So, yeah, we're going to be glossy.
Just like my hazel eyes.
Glassy or glossy?
We are going to be doing a special countdown on all our social media, kind of going with every single cover that we've had for the whole year and thanking everybody for the support. And then you'll see the new magazine come that year anniversary of The Edge.
Fantastic. Yes. Fantastic. And we're all about it. Fonz, so... Dude, we can go on forever.
Yeah. Well,
anything you like to declare? Anything?
Actually, I just have one more question. Is there anything that we missed that you guys would want to talk about that, or you guys would want to add to our conversation, our podcast, our show?
I would just like to thank you for having us on the podcast.
Yeah.
And
they're not ashamed, Fonz. They're not ashamed.
And I'm hoping that the people who are listening, and if you live in Long Beach, that you'll give us a try. If you haven't picked up The Edge, I think that you'll be entertained. You'll be informed. We have the most comprehensive calendar listings of any media in Long Beach. We care about Long Beach, and we will continue, whether it's online or something that you can hold on to, we will continue to give you the best content that's available in Long Beach.
And, of course, you can find us on Facebook, The Edge Long Beach, Twitter, or Instagram, at Edge Long Beach, because Gary doesn't know anything about social media platforms.
No, that's true. I'm too old to know about all the social media things.
Fonz, can you tell who is the Walt and the Fonz of The Edge magazine? Yes. I think you can figure that out.
Yeah. I think it's a mirror image right here.
For real. guys... You guys are fantastic at what you do. Listeners, please check out The Edge. It's an incredible magazine. You're going to get shits and giggles. You're going to get some serious stories. You're going to find out what the hell is going on in Long Beach.
I just want to say it's rare to find somebody who has the passion for journalism like I have. I go through a lot of students. It's been 9 years now, but it's really, really wonderful to be able to work with somebody who has the passion and the energy. And
is he talking about me? Or
I am talking about you, yes.
I didn't know he was talking about you guys.
No. Oh, the hell with these guys.
We're not journalism, man. We're a circus radio.
It's great to know that somebody has the same passion I do for the city and for quality storytelling also. So.
To Gary, to Blake. To Dr. James.
To Dr. James.
To Kirk Gibson.
You know, I got into grad school because of that story, by the way. And all right, the pilot number 53 in the books.
To the edge.
I have like a drop on my cup, so.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Rock and roll.
Good night.
Good night.